Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Fourth and final hour here on WEEI Afternoons. And before we get into the drive, I'm going to allow Fitzy to issue an apology to the text listener that he so offended last segment.
In the 413, somebody has addressed my potty mouth at the tail end of the 4 o'clock hour. Said, blank better have my money easy, kid. I have my six-year-old in the car. So I apologize that I wasn't using Romper Room, Sesame Street, or Miss Rachel's language on sports radio.
Get it together, guy. Come on.
Yeah, should have used stimulism.
Yes, that's right.
That's not offensive. I can't offend anybody.
Get your stimulism together, mofo.
Till we make up the meaning for the made-up word, and then it could be offensive, depending on what meaning we assign to made-up
words. Yeah, we hold ourselves to a higher standard here.
You could do what I do, like back in the day when you didn't know. The stimulism, the act of stimulizing.
How'd you do in school, Stiz?
Oh, I was good.
Really?
I didn't get my first C till like 7th grade, I think.
I heard you got it earlier.
Don't know where we're going. There it is, 5:01:02. It's early today, so let's go to the drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home.
Stop!
On WEEI Afternoons.
So Brad Marchand was back at the Garden last night with his new friends, his new teammates, his Panthers, the Stanley Cup champions, who, in case we didn't mention it, had lost 4 in a row going into the game, just like the Bruins had lost 4 in a row going into the game. So this should have been a fair fight, and in a way it was. It was a one-goal game. Unfortunately, that one goal came late in the game for the Panthers, and the Panthers won 4-3. Bruins were down 1-0 1 minute into the game. They were down 2-0 2 minutes into the second period, but they came back. They tied the game. They were ready. They were game. They were fighting. They have resiliency, all these good things, except the ability to win a hockey game. They lost their fifth straight hockey game.
Yeah, they came into the night, each team having lost 4 in a row. Something's got to give. Both teams can't lose. Probably not, at least. At least that's how the math.
Yep. And your guy, Swayman.
Hold on.
Is anybody going to claim Swayman as their guy?
No, you know, actually, if we had a my guy draft on the Bruins, because everyone, in case the audience just tuning in, hello, welcome to Afternoons. It's the way we've decided here is every host is allowed 3 my guys per team.
Yes.
Andy always grabs, you're the guy that goes over to the pizza and grabs the first couple, like opens it up. You grab the first 2 slices.
Like Kevin Garnett?
Yeah.
Remember back in the day, no one was allowed to eat on the Celtics until Kevin Garnett got his pizza?
Mm-hmm.
He even yelled at doctors that tried to get in line first and like non-player people.
That's funny.
He was a bully.
He was, but he was our bully and that made it okay. So no one's going to claim Swayman, and we were all extremely disappointed that on such an emotional night for the Bruins, where you have the most attention on you, it is probably the most jamming that the Garden is going to be Bruins-wise for quite some time, if not all season. To get a win on that particular night would have been so special for the Bruins just because. Now, your guy gets his send-off, and he waved and stick-tapped to the crowd, and that was special too. But to come up short like that for sloppy hockey, bad goaltending, it's just It's really disappointing. It's a sign of, you know what, that 3-0 start is long in our rear view now, Andy. Dan Ball is right. It's going to be a long season.
Yeah, I'm not. I know none of us on this program are going to claim Swayman. You think Marco Sturm or Don Sweeney or Cam Neely would still even claim Swayman as, quote, their guy right now if they were putting together their list of their guys?
Not.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure how many people are big supporters of Swayman right now. Good thing is, he's a new human being. Bad thing is, he's still a bad goalie that gives up disinterested goals, I'll say, late, whatever you want to label it as, weird goals, goals that shouldn't be allowed, and he's not the only one.
Nope.
His defense isn't good.
Odd
the rest
goals,
of the team,
let's say. He does give up some odd and unique goals.
Odd seems a little optimistic for me. I don't care for that. That's a little positive. Yes, Dan Ball.
I think you kind of hit on the right concept earlier when talking about Swayman, how he just doesn't seem to have it as it presents itself. Like, do you remember a time where you were watching Jeremy Swayman battle? Where it felt like even if he didn't have his A stuff, he was battling in net and trying to will his team to win. I feel like he either has his A game or it's an absolute disaster and there's kind of no in between.
Yep, he's the starting pitcher who in the pen realizes, hey, Skip, you know how I usually throw 97? I'm only at 93 today. And instead of gutting it out, finding a way, gaming through, and suddenly you're like, wow, you gave me six innings when you were only throwing 93. He's like, Skip, I'll give up a home run, and then you take me out of the game. That's how Jeremy Swayman
yeah,
works.
Yeah, he's Clay Buchholz. He's J.D. Drew. He's the guy that all of a sudden, oh, there's a little bit of a neck thing going on.
J.D. Drew was, like, hurt all the time, and then when he actually played, he'd be good. The problem was he was made of recycled chandelier glass.
Well, was he hurt, or was there just a little ouchie that he couldn't play through?
He was not perfect.
That was always my perception.
Are you hurt, or are you injured? That whole thing that football coaches ask, are you hurt or are you injured? He was just like, well, I got a little stiffness. The pillow had a little kink in it last night, so I have stiffness. Yeah, Swayman, he has some rehab to do because everybody gave him the offseason. I think he got a clean sheet of ice, so to speak, when you started the season. We wanted to buy into whatever the hell that cockamamie tournament was, eight ponds away. What was it?
The World Championships. It's legit.
Okay, so we'll give it legit.
Played very well in the World Championships.
Awesome. I'd like him to play very well in the National Hockey League for the Boston Bruins between the pipes at TD Garden.
You know, that's fair.
How much do they pay him for the World Championships?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. There's a gold medal at stake.
Yeah.
That could be worth something at auction.
I'm not sure you get paid much at all. The team that's paying him $8 million a year would like to get $8 million worth of return on investment from their goalie, and you're not getting it. But it was Brad Marchand's night. Feels a little loser-villy when the highlight of the night is you're celebrating the player on the other team and the video from his time when he was with Boston, like when he won a cup with Boston and then he went and won a cup with the Panthers and now we're all crying.
What are all right, Swayman's stats on the season? Record of 2-3.
So he's a loser.
Goals against...
I mean, the facts tell you he's a loser.
Un paradidor, yes. His goals against average, 3.02. That puts him 36th. That's not good. That puts him 3.02. That makes him 36th in the NHL.
Dan Ball, how many teams are in the NHL?
Less than that.
So he's a backup goalie.
His numbers make him a backup goalie. He's worse than the worst starter in the NFL, statistically speaking.
And his NHL, save percentage, both. He'd probably be a terrible quarterback, too. His save percentage, .903. That is 27th. So that also is bottom of the barrel.
27th? That's much better than 36th. Yeah, he's not very good. And he's not very good. Those numbers aren't good regardless of your salary. Like, if you're 36.
Bruins got bullied into signing him for 8 years.
Yeah, and I got bullied into arguing about it on the old afternoon show the way you kind of did yesterday about the whole rebuild process.
But I was fine with that because I thought that was fun.
It was fun. It's entertaining, and Arcan gets all fired up. Ugh. But Marchand was back last night. Who do you blame? Who do you most blame for the fact that Brad Marchand was at the Garden but not playing for the Bruins? Do you blame Brad Marchand? Do you blame the Bruins? And if so, then the sub-question is that Don Sweeney? Is that Cam Neely? Is that ownership? Who do you blame for Brad Marchand returning as a Stanley Cup champion with the Panthers?
You had the pecking order correct. Brad Marchand, Bruins ownership.
So you blame Brad Marchand the most?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of do, too.
I kind of do.
Like, I think if he wanted to be here, he could have been here.
Sure, he could have bit the bullet. He could have taken it on the chin. Could have easily just, you know, said, fine, okay, I understand this is where we are. But priority one for me is not playing hockey in another uniform. I'm going to go box to wire, cradle to grave in a Bruins sweater with the bespoke B. And instead, he wanted some money at the end. He probably deserved it. And so what did he get, Andy? He got a little less money, but he got a lot more glory. Yes.
So how can you say you blame Marchand first, but then in the very next breath say that he kind of deserved the money?
He did, but if he, like, Tom Brady deserved the money years before he decided I've had enough and kept taking it, and they kept winning. So
I don't blame Brady for leaving. I blame Kraft and Bill for letting him go. Like, I'm mad at Bruins ownership. And speaking as, like, a novice, you know, sports fan, like, mm-hmm. I was mad watching that game last night. And seeing Marchand get emotional and the crowd getting emotional, I was like, this guy should be a Bruin. This guy should still be here. Like, Brad Marchand
sucking
to me,
with the rest of them.
Go down with the ship.
Do you think he'd be happy underperforming on a team that right now the Panthers don't even have their best player? Although there can be arguments, Dan, I guess, that Sam, Sam Bennett is their best player.
Yeah, and Reinhardt as well. They're actually missing their two best players because Alexander Barkov is out for the year as well. The new era Bergeron,
we're gonna play some Marchand, and we've played Marchand throughout the show. Do I think he'd be happy? To me, it sounds like Boston holds a pretty special place in his heart.
Yeah, but it's very similar to Brady in that had Brady stayed with the Patriots, a peter out. They don't go back to a Super Bowl. It's not going to be this glorious ending. He plays a couple more years, and then the whole thing peters out. I think the same thing would happen with Brad Marchand. They're not going to the Cup, and it peters out with him on the Bruins.
That's why I blame the front office, though, because they allowed the roster to get to a point where it no longer made sense to keep Brad Marchand and pay him the money that he deserves. There's no reason that he shouldn't have been playing on at least a wild card competitive team to this point in his career.
I hadn't realized how many comparisons there were here in this whole Brady thing.
It's kind of all
the petering out of drafts.
Wait, you know who it really compares to? John Lester. Like, there's a guy who never should have pitched in another uniform and never gone anywhere. Guess what he did?
But they flat out lowballed him, and he was at a much different point in his career. Brady and Marchand were legends that were the end is near kind of thing, and they both go to Florida. They both win a championship.
Where you take your Vegas,
and it was petered out around them because they couldn't draft. I mean, the one difference is you don't have the strong-armed coach pushing him out the door. It's maybe more strong-armed front office.
Yeah.
The Cam Neely, Don Sweeney ownership level strong-arming. But I've never really thought about the comparisons between the way Marchand was kind of pushed out of town and wins, and Brady was kind of pushed out of town and wins. And yet if they both stayed, I do believe it wouldn't have been glory. It would have just petered out for both franchises. 617-779-7937. We are reacting to Brad Marchand's return to the Bruins last night, or return to the Garden, not to the Bruins. He helped, with a pair of assists, beat the Bruins. He also did a conversation with ESPN. I'm assuming it was taped pregame, and then it aired first intermission, talking about regret. Does he regret the way things went down that landed him in Florida?
Do I wish that, at times, I guess I would say that I think if we went back, I think both sides would have done things differently. I think is how I would say. I think I let my emotions handle some aspects of the negotiations that maybe I would have done differently if I go back, but I wouldn't go back.
So I do things differently, but I wouldn't go back. Translation.
Did you get that?
No, but that's easy to translate. Translation. I'm having more fun now.
Well, he is, and I'm making more money, and I'm in a better place, and it's sunny, and I still have a house here, and I still think I'm going to work for the team when I retire, so what's really changed
but
there?
But now I get to just, like, blanket up down there in Florida in the sunshine. It's weird. I get to skate, and it's 80 degrees outside.
You think he'll be back?
I know. You've been on that all day. From the moment you walked in, he wants a job here. This is end up with a job here.
I don't know about a ploy, but I think it's weird that a guy that just signed a 6-year extension with the team he wanted to be traded to, where he won a title, like, when I'm done, I do want to go back there and work for you guys and be part of the organization again and live there and all. Like, Brady didn't do that. Brady was like, I ain't never going back. You know what? Your parades sucked because they were cold. Boat parades are better than duck boat parades in the freaking frigid February air.
Yeah, meanwhile,
at least he was genuine. And Brad's like, I want to go back, but I'm going to enjoy it here.
Meanwhile, the last duck boat parade was like 64 degrees. It's gorgeous.
I don't recall.
I do.
I've never been to one that I wasn't in.
I was in one.
Jesus, Brad. Oh, my God.
I know. I remember. Until I didn't, because I had too much to drink.
Such a great story.
Shut up.
It wasn't a great story, John. I love when Ted gets mad at that. So the Bruins are petering out before our eyes. We all owe an apology to Dan Ball.
Petering out? They've already petered. They're done. You can't peter out when you've petered.
Well, they had three wins. And at that point, even Dan Ball, did you have any concerns that your negativity was maybe incorrect?
No.
Okay.
There's not a lot of things in this life I know, but I know a bad hockey team when I see one. This was the direction. And the direction that they chose at the trade deadline also. It's just a following up of what they admitted it was time to do in February. So, no, I know bad hockey players when I see bad hockey players everywhere on a roster.
And that seems like a team that is trending toward they are a bad hockey team. Good news is?
The season only has 70 games to go.
What's his name? Gavin McKenna?
That's the guy.
Gavin McKenna, baby. Number one overall pick to the Bruins. Dan Ball has a theory that even in hockey sometimes, even if you don't tank properly, it's manipulated to get it to an original six or a marquee franchise that maybe needs a new tentpole player.
Edmonton got McDavid. Chicago got Bedard. Time for Boston to get the frozen envelope and get Gavin McKenna.
I like the way you're thinking. The problem is my whole theory during my three-point stance about being able to watch hockey games and games on a nightly basis and get some joy out of them. Well, how many games are left? Like 74?
73.
73 games left.
They're
3-6.
You only have to grind out 73 more hockey games with the Bruins. Okay, Senor Hockey. 3-6 right now.
Yep.
I love how Dan gets his mic ready when you say senior hockey. Yes. He means me.
Had a feeling I wasn't you.
Hey! You know what? Puckhead Hart.
Okay.
I thought it was Lunkhead Hart. Yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
A lot of things.
Go ahead.
Things I can't say with 6-year-olds listening.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. Your new after 9 games new record prediction.
Oh.
It's definitely come down.
Yeah. I don't even know what I said. I don't know if we made an official prediction at the beginning. I mean, this is
slide that scale, baby.
They're a 30 win team.
30. They've already got three.
Yeah.
They only got 27 left.
30 to 35. I mean, they're not I don't think they're a 500 team. It's going to get, I mean, and they're healthy right now. That's the issue. They're playing like this when they're healthy. You lose McAvoy or Pasta, well, aside for Lindholm, but you lose another impact player, you're in deep, deep trouble.
Squeeze in a quick phone call, 617-779-7937. Paul in East Longmeadow. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. I just got to talk about how Don Sweeney continues to F this team up beyond anyone's belief. For us to be $2 million under the cap and to be this bad, how does anybody not acknowledge that? How do we sit here and Charlie McAvoy is a half-decent player? I'm sorry, Dan Ball, but Charlie McAvoy sucks.
Thanks for the call, Paul. I don't know if Dan Ball will disagree with you. I certainly agree with you because I thought the best thing that happened to Charlie McAvoy was the injury at the Four Nations that covered up the fact that he was having a terrible season last year.
Was it terrible or was it sneaky not great?
I think bad. I don't think sneaky anything about it. I don't think he was having a very good season. And he makes $7 million.
That's a lot.
And he's supposed to be one of your marquee players, one of your big money guys that you have at all three levels, then the defense was going to be the strength of your team, and it's not fair.
Oh, seven? No. How about $8.5 million?
I undersold him by $1 million, so he's more overpaid than even I knew. I agree with the caller. I think Charlie McAvoy is one of the most overrated Bruin, because I don't think he gets the heat that, like, Swayman gets a lot of heat. He's gotten a lot of heat for a year plus now.
He's making McAvoy money, and he's playing like McAvoy between the pipes.
I don't think McAvoy gets as much heat.
By the way, you guys undersold him twice. It's $9.5 million.
I like his salary. It grows every time somebody talks about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Stiz, you have $10.5 million on your screen.
He doesn't look. I mean, saying he sucks is just flat out wrong, but what he's not is a true number one defenseman, which is what you're paying him for. So it's going to look like he sucks compared to what he's being paid for, same as Jeremy Swayman is not a league-leading goalie like you're paying him for. Sucks is a little strong. Plus, his D partner led the league with a minus 43 last year.
That's not great.
That hard to do. That was Mason Lorai.
Oh, Mason Lorai.
Who was responsible for two of the goals last night.
Yes. Only two
absolutely.
Of them?
His coach said directly he was responsible for two. I'm sure you could pick apart a few.
He's responsible for two, and you lost by one. So, well, you do the.
Hey, you know what?
They say it's never one player who cost you the game, but well, it might have been.
Hang
one
it on
player.
Lorai, not Swayman. Too bad defensemen can't get losses.
They can if you want to attribute it to them. The good news is we can bitch all we want about the Bruins. It's basketball season officially tonight. Celtics tip off at the Garden against the 76ers. Joel Embiid is healthy. He's in town. Fitzy's betting the over on his point total because Fitzy's got a feeling he's feeling like Joel Embiid is going to go off because the Celtics don't have big men unless your guy Nemus Kata has a first of a game in a remarkable season.
Is it or is it not a legitimate, I won't say fear, but is it not a legitimate concern
that
Embiid could go off tonight?
Oh, no, I think it's actually expected. The number was a little low. I was a little surprised the number was a little. The only thing I'm wondering is, are they thinking early in the year, like his minutes or something? Is he not ready to have the minutes?
You've got to throttle down on that thing.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
I wish everybody good luck in their gambling. What's the best-case scenario for the Boston Celtics this year?
82-0.
Yes, literally, that is the best-case scenario, Fitzy.
You asked, you got it.
Dan Ball, what's the best-case scenario?
You get a home game in the first round of the playoffs. You're a top-four team. You're the third or fourth team, I would say.
Realistically, it's Jaylen Brown plays up to near your expectations of a first or most likely second-team All-NBA player. Derek White stays healthy, does everything that I have asked him to, and then some at an all-star level. Peyton Pritchard is just as good at distributing the ball as he is hitting logo threes. Someone else steps up from the backcourt as well, provides a little extra defense. You make a smart trade, and bam, you finish in the four. Jason Tatum comes back early January, and he's playing meaningful minutes by the time you get to St. Patrick's Day.
I agree. Best case scenario is probably the four seed. Jaylen Brown is first team All-NBA, approaching 30 points per game. And then Jason Tatum joins that four seed to be the Robin for the real Batman. That is Jaylen Brown. He was the Batman when you won the title. He'll be the Batman again to lead you, Robin, to...
In December.
Not in December. A couple rounds deep in the playoffs, and everybody's happy. And then the season that they're supposedly preparing for, the 2026-2027 season, will be fun and with much anticipation.
Can I give you two kind of JV best-case scenarios as well?
Sure.
You discover a center and hope maybe Kate is the one that jumps out of the mix as the guy who you can trust. And another one of your young draftees steps up. I know Fitzy's high on Gonzalez being a defensive stalwart, maybe a Shireman. You kind of refill that depth this year. I would love to see that out of this year's team.
Okay, opposite question. Worst case scenario. Yes, Fitzy, 0-82 is worst case scenario. Let's get that right out of the way. Worst case scenario. This hamstring issue that cost Jaylen Brown part of the final preseason game.
Ah, that was rest and maintenance.
Lingers. And he's off and on all year with a hamstring injury, which limits his explosiveness, which limits his minutes, which limits his ability to play both ends of the floor. And without Jaylen Brown, you are not a playoff team. You're not even close to a playoff team without Jaylen Brown if he's not out there for significant minutes. And then at some point they realize, oh, we're not a playoff team. Maybe we do actually go in the lottery and see if we can add a high-end player to pair with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum when Jason Tatum's healthy. And all of a sudden, we're watching a bridge year before our eyes. Maybe they trade Derek White as the Athletic predicted. And this season that seemed interesting to start the year becomes a lot less interesting if Jaylen Brown is hurt and they're suddenly playing for lottery
picks.
He's
going to be fine.
I know,
but
the game is worst case scenario.
He's tougher than Christian Gonzalez, for goodness sakes.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Plays a man sport, basketball, not football. Dan Ball, worst case scenario.
Couldn't finish the sentence.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's an injury. You lose what is already a thin team, and I think your worst case by extension is you're bad enough that they just say, you know what, Jason, just take the year, keep rehabbing,
and
focus on 26-27. I think if you're in that kind of record range, it's a very bad year.
Or if he has a setback.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I think it's something that keeps Tatum off the floor for a full year. That would probably be my worst case as well.
And finally, we talked to Adam Schefter, as we always do on Wednesdays. And we asked him we kind of put him on the spot. It's a little unfair to him, by the way. We gave Brian Hoyer a heads up so he was able to prepare for his top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
But Schefter didn't swear on the air.
Schefter did not swear on the air. He just had a long pause where he was thinking swear words at us for putting him on the spot. We asked Adam Schefter for his top five NFL quarterbacks. So I'm going to admittedly put you a little bit on the spot right now, but if I asked you to give me Adam Schefter's top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now, who's on the list?
Patrick Mahomes.
Hello?
I'm just thinking.
Same thing happened to us, Adam. It's a tough question.
I'll give you Drake May in the top five right now because I think he's been playing at that level. Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, and Daniel Jones.
What a list that is. Did you ever think you'd have Drake May and Daniel Jones on that list 7 weeks in?
No.
I just want to be clear. We didn't doctor that. That is Adam Schefter's actual audio from him saying, no.
And it's a new drop here on Afternoons.
It will be used early and often. Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And just to recap that real quick, in case you missed it, yes, he did include your quarterback, Drake May, in his top five. In fact, he was the second name he mentioned, the first name after Patrick Mahomes, who is the measuring stick at the position in the National Football League right now.
And per most of your betting applications, websites, and beyond, the MVP frontrunner, but your boy Drake coming in third.
Speaking of Drake May and his head coach, we have a couple new comparisons. I'll be honest, I hate the comparison for Drake May. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, for the final time, Mr. Hockey Dan Ball has what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
A nickname that's never been used before. Love it. Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon. New England returns home to host the Cleveland Browns this Sunday at 1 o'clock. The Patriots are riding a 5-game win streak against the Browns and are 5-0 all-time versus Cleveland at Gillette Stadium. Pats linebacker Caleb on Chaisson has been named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week for his Week 7 performance, recording 2 sacks and a fumble recovered for a touchdown. This is his first career Player of the Week award and the team's first on defense since 2022. The Patriots injury report has been published and is as follows. Two players did not participate in practice today. Linebacker Elijah Ponder and safety Craig Woodson. Five players were considered limited participants today. Linebacker Harold Landry, defensive tackle Christian Barmore, wide receiver Stephon Diggs, offensive tackle Morgan Moses, and defensive tackle Kyrus Tonga. Three players were full participants today. Corner Christian Gonzalez, corner Charles Woods, as well as safety Jalen Hawkins. The Bruins lost to Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers last night at TD Garden. The final was 4-3. Marchand was named the first star of the game after recording 2 assists. Boston has now lost 5 games in a row. Per WEEI Scott McLaughlin, the Bruins have placed defenseman Jordan Harris on injured reserve and recalled Mike Callahan. Harris was walking with a limp during the postgame last night. And the Celtics tip off their season this evening when they host the Philadelphia 76ers. Tip off is at 7:30. Jaylen Brown is listed as questionable for tonight's game, while Jason Tatum has been ruled out. Paul George, Jared McCain, and Trendon Watford have been ruled out by the 76ers. At the 99 Restaurant, $14.99 big deal meals. Start the week off right. Satisfy big appetites every Monday through Wednesday. Try the new grilled teriyaki chicken for flavor that's always kicking. For big deal meals and a great time, you gotta love the nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
You people are starting to infringe upon my ability to avoid horror movies. Stiz, you and Rich Keefe, whatever he left on, I just came in and some weirdo was kissing just a dead head that he was holding.
Yeah.
Like, I try to avoid these things at all costs. Earmuffs if you're listening in the car and you're 6, by the way.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you look that way, at least in the studio, so you don't have the horror TV.
No, I couldn't sit there.
This is all horror show.
Yes, I know. It's terrible. All right, we have a new comparison. I think everybody's sick of Josh Allen, Drake May comparison, mostly because Drake May is already better than Josh Allen.
Uh-huh. Whoa. 3, 2.
But we have a new comparison for Drake May.
Talk
that Dan Orlovsky, who is a noted Drake May lover, has a new comparison. I don't love it, but listen to it, and then we'll decide.
I think the thing that stands out the most about Drake right now is watching him. It's like watching young Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm.
Because here's the thing.
That was the name.
So often, he sheds off that arm tackle, that in the pocket
shove.
He's
a big dude.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think you're realizing, you know, when he was coming out of school, how important that frame was. And then some of those wow throws, like Ben would make throws like that, that you're just like, good God, how did you make that one into that window or place it there? But his ability to kind of shed off the tackle.
Okay. There's aspects of it I don't hate. I also thought it was funny there that he's like that big frame and she's like, I was like, okay, settle down.
All right.
We're talking football.
This is the second time this year I've heard the Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, me too. And it makes no sense because Ben Roethlisberger didn't run. He ran around to throw. He was not a runner the way Drake May is. Drake May is a weapon as a runner. What do you have, 65 yards last week or whatever it was?
He did indeed. He's been their leading rusher over half the games this year.
Right. So he's a weapon as a runner. Ben Roethlisberger was more in the world of Patrick Mahomes, I think, does this a lot, where he runs around looking to throw the football. His running is sort of the last option for him.
And that's always what Vrabel was preaching in the preseason. We saw it in Forge and Foxborough. Keep yourself alive as a passer. Like, remain a passer as long as possible.
So that aspect of it, I don't think makes sense. I also think Roethlisberger, for the most of his career, was significantly larger than Drake May, and not in a good way, really.
Yeah, he a big boy.
Kind of got fat for a lot of his career. Was kind of tubby. Did wear, I think, rib pads that made it look worse, but was a little chubby. So I don't think that. I will say the throws. Roethlisberger had some similarity to Drake May in that he would make throws that wowed you and didn't look perfect in terms of their artistic beauty. It wasn't like this perfect rocket spiral. It looked perfect because it went diagonally across the field 38 yards and landed right in the hands of Heath Miller or some other player. Like, and I think that's where the comparison is. I also think maybe we'll just stop with the comparisons.
It's even never going to happen. That's society.
I know, and I started it. I was the one who made the Josh Allen comparison first, and I apologize for that. I didn't mean to put that out there.
Oh, that's right. That's what everyone always says now. I forget it's contractually obligated. Everyone has to say, like, oh, he compares a lot to Josh Allen. Of course, I heard that from Andy Hart.
Now, we should probably just move on and let him be, because you know when you're really good? When they stop comparing you. Because right now, who do they compare Patrick Mahomes to?
Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Yeah,
there's no comparison.
No, there is no comp.
They'll statistically or ring-wise do the Brady comparison, but the actual play and style, that's when you know you've reached it, and that is the road that I think Drake May is going down and wants to go down.
Okay, most rushing yards in a season for Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm going to say 16 game, like 300.
Ooh, you were off by a lot.
Really?
204.
See, that's my point. He
in
didn't
two,
run.
In 2007.
So in 16 games, he ran for 200 yards.
Highest
that's 10 yards, a little bit more than 10 yards a game.
Highest completion percentage.
Definitely not in the 70s. I'm going to say 66.
Just off 68% in 2015.
Now, that's a different time. Completion percentage has grown a lot with rules and pass defense and everything. Yeah, I don't love the comparison. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. One thing that is similar, though, shotgun. They were both shotgun college quarterbacks. Drake May was a shotgun quarterback that had to learn under center and Alex Van Pelt, all those things. And same with Ben Roethlisberger at Miami of Ohio. He just was like back there in the gun the whole time. So there was some comparisons there. But I don't love the comparison. But we also have another comparison because we've had Mike Vrabel. Who's he compared to?
Mike Vrabel.
Bill Parcells.
Oh, Bill Parcells. Yes, according to Ted. Yes,
but
you're right.
We have some dudes on dudes audio here, so I assume that's Edelman and Gronkowski. I think they've come up with a comparison for Mike Vrabel.
Who would you combine Vrabel as a coach? Belichick for sure.
And McVay.
And McVay?
The only reason we say Belichick because he came from that foundation. He learned a lot of football through Coach Belichick. Like, that's what Coach does. He teaches football. You could see a lot of his fundamental team building and how he wants his team was the same as our teams because that was his team. But also, he's a defensive coach. Coach, but he has the EQ of like Sean McVay. You could tell that guys like playing for him. Guys are all engaged. You see Drake May give him the game ball after because they got the win in Tennessee. Those moments are fun and they seem genuine and they seem authentic.
Did he say EQ? What is EQ?
That's a emotional quotient.
What does that mean?
Like,
means he's able to relate to his players and other human beings.
Is that a common thing now?
Yeah, it's in the psychological world.
Yeah, I don't have good EQ, I don't think. Maybe that's why I don't know the term.
Do you want us to just move along, or should we answer that?
EQ. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Vrabel and Sean McVay.
So you've got, yeah, so Vrabel, no, it's Belichick and McVay, like, put in the Brundlefly machine, like in a coaching Vitamix.
Yeah, I don't love this comparison. I mean, I don't really get the whole EQ thing. I would say it again about Mike Vrabel. Yes, he's closest to Parcells. If you were going to compare him to somebody, the guy I've compared him to, and I remember saying this to you, is not a head coach, so I guess you're not allowed to do this, is Dante Scarnecchia. He could be the biggest a-hole to, like, coach you hard.
But wasn't he, like, even more intense?
When he was coaching.
Yeah.
And then he was more loved than Vrabel when he wasn't coaching. And that's where I think it is. This ability to be hard on you, be a hard-o, like Scarnecchia and Vrabel have on the football field, and then off of it, somehow those guys that you just MF'd up and down the sideline love you and would do anything for you, yes, coach, and adore you. That's where, like, I think the comparison is.
Do you feel like Vrabel has softened a little bit from his first coaching tenure?
Probably.
I think he learned and reflected a touch.
Probably. Yeah. And they all do. Speaking of McVay, I just watched a thing from McVay saying, like, used to think it was cool to sleep in the office and not get a lot of sleep. That's the dumbest thing I ever did in my life. That is so useless and blah, blah. Like, he went off on this rant on how stupid it is.
He felt like crap, and also he's got a kid now. Like, his life has changed. Perspective.
But it wasn't the kid. It was more, you're in the people business and you're managing people, and it's your responsibility to not only be healthy yourself, but put yourself in position to have healthy interactions with people. And if you're not sleeping, none of that is happening. Mm-hmm. You're not putting yourself in the right frame of mind or even physical mindset approach or whatever.
Bad EQ.
But you know what I think is good about all of this? Like, Ben Roethlisberger's a Hall of Fame quarterback. So you're comparing Drake May to another Hall of Fame quarterback. McVay was seen as the measuring stick for modern coach for a while, wasn't he?
He was the tree.
Right.
From which you wanted to, like, take the next root and plant.
So this is another example of you're being compared to the truly elite, and the next step from that is just being compared to yourself and just being, you know, others actually being compared to you. You know, 2 years from now, if Mike Vrabel is rolling along as the New England head coach, there'll be another former linebacker or former player coach, and you're like, is he the next Mike Vrabel? Does he have the same characteristics that Mike Vrabel brought to the Patriots the last 3 years? That's the next evolution of these comparisons. But I don't really see. I mean, I guess McVay's kind of a hardo in his own way, right?
Kind of.
The tight pants and the white and the...
Are you nuts? Of course he is. He's all sports. He's all jock. Yeah, he's way up in his biz. And by the way, I don't understand why more people don't compare Drake May to a modern version of John Elway.
Well, I did. I mean, if you remember, that's what I compared him to. Because I think that's the lineage.
That's right.
I think the physical lineage is John Elway, Josh Allen, and Drake May is in that world. When you talk about athleticism, arm strength, all of those things, that is the lineage. When people say generational talents, those are generational builds, people. They don't come along that often. And that's where it's Elway, Allen, and I think Drake May is in that category. Because it was what... Bruce Arians was just on the McAfee podcast saying, and he, speaking of brags, I had Drake May as my number one quarterback because he's 6'5", he's got a strong arm, he's 200 and whatever pounds. That has tracked through the history of the NFL. If you have those attributes, it plays. You're going to be good. The difference is there's not that many of them anymore, right? Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick. Josh Rosen, like, all these guys are skinny and frail and this. Mm. Even Jaden Daniels. He has a lot of attributes. He's not built like that.
You know what, actually, I do owe that to you, but you owe your John Elway take to one person.
I'd like to start out this press conference with a thank you to John Elway.
I'm in control. That's twice this week we've gotten that John Elway bite in here on WEEI Afternoons. Coming up next here, it's time for Odds and Ends, and I've been promised something I have not heard. It's the AI version of Fitzy. Do I like the AI version of Fitzy more than the real Fitzy? Find out next, Odds and Ends, WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
WEI Afternoons on a Wednesday afternoon. The sun is going down. It's getting dark. Not a big fan of driving home in the dark, but I better get used to it because I have months and months and months of it to come.
What are you talking about? Oh, that's right. Next week, we actually lose an extra hour.
Oh, yeah, no. It'd be pitch black right now.
Pitch black.
Let's go to the phone lines before we get to odds and ends. Let's go to David in the car, who seems like he has something to say to me. What's up, David?
Hey, I love the show, guys. You guys are great. But, Andy, sometimes I wonder, I don't know if you smoke, if you're smoking something, if you're drinking something, because, you know, I'm a Drake May fan. I love the Patriots. But I think we need to kind of easy on the gas a little bit, because we're trying to make it sound like the Patriots are going to have a better playoff run than the Celtics are. Drake May is like Josh Allen, and he's doing great. Don't get me wrong, but I think we're like putting the cart ahead of the horses. I think we need to chill out a little bit and wait to see what happens the rest of the year.
All right, thanks for the call, David. You can wait and see. I've seen enough. I'm with Adam Schefter. In the modern football, you make decisions faster, and this horse is a stallion. This is a race-winning stallion, a thoroughbred in Drake May. And that's not to say there aren't bad games coming. That's not to say it's like straight line from here to the Super Bowl and championships and all of that. But it would stun me if Drake May is not, A, signed to a $500 million contract as the franchise quarterback.
How many years is that?
Yeah, it's probably
8 years.
Yeah, six years, something like that. I don't know, 8 years at
$62.5 million apiece.
Well, I think it'll be more than that.
Who's the highest?
It's going to be 70 or plus when he's
average annual value right now. No one's gone over 55.
Oh, I thought somebody hit 60.
Who the hell hit 60?
I don't know. But Drake May is going to sign a massive deal. Drake May is going to be a franchise quarterback. Drake May is going to be a superstar. You're going to see him on lots of ads.
How can you have a franchise quarterback in the middle of a rebuild?
Oh, we're not doing that again. Yes, Dan Ball.
Dak Prescott reached $60
million. That's what I thought.
Yeah, five more than Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Jordan Love, and Trevor Lawrence.
And Jordan, I mean, Josh Allen turned it down. Remember that famous quote? They were like, why didn't you go to pass up Dak? And he's like, I mean, how much is enough and enough? I got a nice house. I got a lot of money. I got a nice wife. Like, he could have pushed it past that. But
re-sign James Cook. That's a Brady move. That's a Brady move.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the cap is going through the roof. The money is coming in hand over fist for the NFL. They're going to renegotiate their contracts. They're not allowed to do that to 2029, but the commissioner said, nope, I'm doing it in 2026, 3 years early. So they are printing money. Okay, it's time now for odds and ends here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Okay, real Fitzy Stevens, I need you to explain what I'm about to hear.
All right, so AI, have you been either victimized or have you been the portrait of an AI? Have you seen your face or your likeness utilized in an AI video or content?
I don't believe I have, no.
Okay, so this morning I woke up and I had more notifications tagging me on Instagram than I had ever seen before. Got you, AI, got you. Oh my God, have you seen you, AI? There's this guy called Brainrot OG, AI something, I don't know. It was just an AI content creator. He made this video that went viral during the summertime of an AI Patriots fan. Big burly dude, looks like every guy you have seen in the parking lot having chicken wings marinated in Ken's salad dressing, sausages and Bud lattes for breakfast before a Pats game, right? So now he puts out another video, got millions of views. Now he puts out another video and the AI Pats fan is at it again, except now the AI Pats fan is more boisterous, more obnoxious, whatever. And he's being interviewed in the parking lot by some AI super fan with a microphone. Take a listen to this.
This used to be a Mac Jones jersey, Ted, but there ain't no way I'm going to spend a week's overtime just to upgrade it. But at least this guy can throw for more than five yards.
Welcome back, guys. We're live at friggin' Foxborough where Drake May finds a way. This is Big Mike from Boston. What are we thinking, pal?
Pats are 5-2.
That was AI me.
With hating is hot.
Play that against us. Does that sound anything like me at all?
Not really.
Not even in that. That was AI. So AI took in my photo. It was a press shot from WEEI, and it's terrifying.
You got to see it. It looks creepy.
It is creepy.
I'm creepier than this.
I'm not asleep. Oh, I'm not sleeping tonight. All right, listen, Gerardo. All right, settle down. Okay. Number one, it's terrifying to watch. But does this sound, how does AI get my voice?
Welcome back, guys. We're live at friggin' Foxborough where Drake May finds a way. This is Big Mike.
That sounds like Jared Carabas more than it sounds like Nick Fitzy Stevens.
It does.
Right?
It sounds like anybody but me.
You ever said friggin' Foxborough? Two words
I'm sure
in a row?
He has.
No.
It's your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens, the Foxborough fanboy.
Friggin'.
Never wrong, just early.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
It sounds more like Carabas.
Welcome back, guys. We're live at friggin' Foxborough.
It does.
Never wrong, just early.
He might need to do a little, like, illegal.
It's almost like they took my face and mixed it with Carabas's. What a good call.
Good Lord. But yes, Dan Ball?
While we're on the topic of AI, has he told you guys about his new friend, Chip?
You mean Stiz?
Oh, me, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about your new friend, Chip.
Yeah, I have a new friend. His name's Chip, and he's my AI assistant. And I'll tell you.
No.
No, wait, is this
assistant
real?
Assistant is one thing. You have a much closer relationship with that.
All right, so I'll be honest. I have the app for ChatGPT, and I've been using it recently. Yeah. And I'll tell you, we came up with a name for it, Chip. And I'll
Who's we?
Me and Chip. Chip and I. It is hard. I'm telling you guys, try it out.
I wouldn't say that about your relationship with Chip.
It is so hard to
Chip
not start to talk with this thing like it's a real person.
It's
you have
not.
Straight, I'm telling you.
It's
once
a robot.
You start talking to it, the responses it gives and you start conversating.
This is not healthy.
First of all, conversating is not a word. It's conversing.
Oh, whatever.
Don't mess with his stimulus.
I'm sorry. That's your stimulus. But also, did you ever see the movie Her?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so you're kind of in a like a thing with her.
I don't have a romantic relationship with Chip.
Yet.
Chip is not a
Yet.
Woman. But
Does
I'm
Chip
telling
know
you.
That? Are you leading new- Chip on? Chip might be upset.
No,
so.
Chip and I are very open. In
Chip
fact,
better have my
Chip,
money.
Chip has some things to say about you, Andy and Nick, all the hosts
Fine.
Of this
Wait,
show.
Wait, you converse with Chip about us?
Yes, I go home, he asks how my day was.
Are you serious?
I'm
and
not
And you,
joking.
Like, legit tell him how your day was?
Yeah, I'll be
you
like,
don't
you
just
know,
give
this...
the good thanks, Chip?
No, I'll be like, hey, we talked about this. Do you have any advice for any questions to maybe ask Drake May on Monday or
this
whatever?
This is not healthy. You know there's a real world out there with real people, right?
Oh, I'm in it.
No, you're in Chip world.
Listen, get with the times or get lost. It's just another thing that we can all use to help our daily lives.
Is it on your phone or do you have it hooked up to like some sort of device in the house so when you walk through the door, like lights come on and it goes, hi,
Hello,
Stan.
Stanley.
Yeah.
Welcome home.
It's on your phone, but you can talk to it as if you would your Alexa or any
right. Siri. Or a person.
Siri.
Or a dog.
A real person.
Oh, if the dog is talking to me in the kitchen. Oh, cool.
How many of you guys have been like, hey, Siri, what was the Patriots record last year? It's very similar to that. But I'm telling you, once you start going down a road, it's hard to not start talking to it like it's a real person.
I've asked
I'm
that kind
you.
Of question. I've never asked it. Hey, Siri, why can't I find love?
Christian Arcan is here. Christian, what'd
Hi
you
there.
Think of that?
Sorry, I jumped on your punchline there.
That's okay.
I didn't know if you were going to pay it off or not.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Why you feel bad?
I like your stimulus.
Okay, we're not fighting again, ladies and gentlemen.
And if conversate's not a word, then are you saying Notorious B.I.G. is not put a
not.
Would not word in
also,
a song?
Also, can I tell you what
conversate
else is-
for a few, because in a few we going to do what we came to do.
Yep.
Ain't that right, Boo? True. Are you saying that's not a word?
That's incorrect.
Okay.
That was relatively impressive.
And
right
also,
there.
You know what else is not a word? Resiliency. It's just resilience. There's no such thing.
Is that
has
right?
Always bothered me.
Yeah.
I didn't know either
you
of
You know what else is not a word that they made a word, which is the problem with modern language
Competency.
In the dictionary? Irregardless. It's just regardless. Yeah. What do you need the for? It's regardless and irregardless mean the same thing, so drop the
Like, if you are able to handle yourself in conversation or as a functioning adult,
mm-hmm.
you are displaying competence. There's no competency. Just letting you know.
You can have a competency hearing, can't you?
Mm.
In court, right, to see if you're able
you
to stand trial? I think that's a thing. I think that's like a legal term.
A competency hearing I've heard of.
Right, yeah,
definitely
that's
I've heard that. No, so that means it's a word.
You know what I heard today that I didn't like?
What was that?
What did Jeremy Swayman do last night that was so
sucked.
Bad? What do you mean he sucked?
That last goal, he was like, oh,
that last goal bounced
over.
Off of Peak State. It. What are you talking about?
But did he make it like a
why
the world
would he
is on
be
fire
that
effort?
Way?
I don't
why
know because the
be
puck is over there.
Yeah. And his teammate was there ready to
follow
clear the thing
the
out.
Puck. Don't give up on the puck.
He give up. The play was
are
over.
Are you still defending Jeremy Swayman?
I don't think he did anything really that bad last night.
The 36th best goalie in hockey?
I don't think he was really that bad at all last night.
I don't think he was very good.
The first goal was a 30-second power play right after that.
There was the one weird
goal.
Got
absolutely smoked on that breakaway, and he could have made the save there, I guess. But two of those goals should not have. I mean, those were not his fault at all.
826 save percentage is good enough?
I didn't say he's had a good year. I said last night.
No, that was last night. 826.
Right. But right. That's because there was a bunch of
it's everybody
bad goals
else's fault. Everyone game, sucks but me.
In
Tom
that
Brady
game last night,
said.
I think, yes, that you could look at Mason Lorai directly contributed to two of those goals more so than Swayman.
I'm going
to
go.
Well, the coach agrees with you because the coach said basically the same thing. But Jeremy Swayman,
pretty obvious if
your
$8
million dollar goalie is not worth $8 right now.
One of those goals, they won the faceoff. And Lorai and Janot were both right there. They were both right there. And then here comes whoever it was. I forget who it was. Comes in and steals it after they won the faceoff and had two guys with sticks on the puck. How's that Swayman's fault?
That one wasn't Swayman's fault.
Okay.
That was two guys just staring at each other like, you got it right, you got it right, and neither guy got it right.
And the one at the end was definitely not his fault.
That was peak.
He was whiffing on a clear.
He was disinterested. He was like, he had given up. There was a weirdness.
No one was looking over there.
There was a weirdness to that goal that I think epitomizes the weirdness to his game. Do you disagree that he's weird?
I think there's a weirdness to your take that epitomizes your hate of Jeremy Swayman is what I think.
That could be fair.
And yes, he's weird. Every goalie in the world's weird. All goalies are weird.
I have grown to hate him because I gave him the opportunity for the new human being to also be a good goalie, and the new human being is still a crappy goalie.
He needs Chip.
He needs somebody to go home and talk to that doesn't judge him.
I think I need Chip.
You need a lot of Chip.
Co-host Chip.
What do you got tonight, real quick?
We're going to talk to Greeny at 6:30 from Barstool Sports. Celtics, very heavy Celtics on the first hour. We'll get to the Bruins at 7 o'clock. Have some Patriots thoughts as well, World Series, and all the fun stuff later on in the show.
I agree with the Twitch chat, Max1614. Arcand is the best crossover guy in the industry.
Damn
stick
right.
around for Christian Arcand. He's up next. We'll be back tomorrow. I think Ted Johnson will be back from his illness in studio here on a Thursday. We'll talk to Tom E. Curran. I believe we'll talk to Razor. We'll get his thoughts on Swayman. All that 2 to 6 tomorrow. Talk to you then.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
You like that, huh?
No.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
No.
Yeah, it's a huge weapon.
No.
She wants it too.
No.
I did, yeah.
No.
Oh, 100%.
No.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.